Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale is almost here. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair, plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping site-wide. Shop the sale at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation, but the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
When a judge says they have grave concern about a case, at that point, you kind of know something rather big is going down. Talking about the case of Karen Reed. And the judge in that case, Judge Beverly Cano, on the 18th of February, 2025, came out of her chambers with those exact words after the prosecution dropped a rather big bomb about expert witnesses, or an expert witness that was really middle of the road, that was there for both sides, provided basically by the feds, saying, hey, here's your expert witness on this. They're going to provide unbiased testimony. Okay, that's normal. Gets a little more complicated when one side hires that expert witness unbeknownst to the court or the prosecution and starts paying them and coaching them on how to respond to certain things. It's a legal earthquake in this case. The prosecution is now accusing the defense of improperly working with the expert witnesses, leading to serious questions about credibility, fairness, and legal ethics. But what does grave concern really mean in a case like this? How does a judge's reaction shape public perception and impact the trial? Psychotherapist Siobhan Scott is joining us to help break all of this down in the case that gets crazier by the day. Let's start, Siobhan. Let's start by playing the clip so you can see it, the audience can see it, and we can all just kind of get the gravity of what Judge Cano is coming back with here after the prosecution said, hey, this expert witness over here, they're paying them. And that has not been disclosed to, well, anybody. Here's her reaction when she came back from her chambers just the other day.
Commonwealth just provided the court with information that causes me grave concern. The implications of that information may have profound effects on this defense and defense counsel. So for that reason, I'm going to suspend today so that when we meet again to address these issues, all affected will be appropriately prepared. So I'll see you a week from today at 11 o'clock in the morning. You can tell me now if that is impossible for you.
So basically, that was what she came back with, and then they ended up doing their scheduling. What did you glean there off of that? I mean, she was out of breath. She was shaking. That's quite a thing to see for someone who, I don't know, Judge Cano kind of struck me as kind of an unshakable type woman, a very strong in demeanor and strong in her beliefs and standing.
Yeah, obviously it's serious, and one wonders what kind of monkey wrench is this going to throw into the whole pending process here. I've never heard a judge say anything like that before, but I've never heard of something like this happening. That doesn't mean I'm an expert on all the court cases that go on, but it really is unusual and sounds bad.
Without a doubt. I mean, let's dive into this more, talking about, just to explain to people why this is a big deal. And this does not matter what side of this case you're on. This like takes the whole case. Doesn't matter if you're a Karen Reed supporter, if you think she did it, whatever. This is more so back to the fundamentals of justice and how our system works to ensure a fair trial on every side. a defendant or the prosecution can have expert witnesses. They can hire specific people to testify about specific pieces of their case, basically to help the jury understand. An expert witness doesn't mean they were actually there at the scene of the crime. They're going to be talking about, in this case, the group they're talking about, ARCA, A-R-C-C-A, they're accident reconstruction specialists, to put it in a nutshell. So that testimony initially brought in by the state for both sides, saying, okay, we have this expert, unbiased, going to break down, give you what their thoughts are on this whole case for both sides. And you can use it as you will. You can call them, you can question them and all that. But we're providing this for you. This is not a biased expert for this side or that side. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's understandable. That happens too. If for some reason you then employ that expert on your side, whether it be the prosecution or in this case, the defense, and you don't notify the court or get approval from the court to do that and pay them roughly, I think it was almost $24,000 was the retainer fee to testify. And then you even coach them on how to react and what to say, which turns out, or that's the allegation that the is being made by the prosecution through various letters and testimony and phone calls. That changes the whole landscape of everything when that's not notified. Before we get into just, I mean, obviously the ethics of this and what one must be thinking in terms of if you're the defense attorney that's trying to pull this, what's a jury thinking when someone comes to testify and they think that this is an unbiased person? This is someone in the middle. They're not being paid over on this side, as you would recognize if it's a witness specifically for one side or the other.
Yeah, it's so confusing for jurors. And the whole topic of expert witnesses is confusing because I think the way that they present themselves in court, even when it's disclosed that they've been paid by one side or the other, they always say that they're non-biased. And I think when you get all the credentials and all the degrees, and jurors often don't understand when one expert is actually more of an expert than another person who's accepted as an expert. And so jurors struggle to make sense out of this anyway. But there's at least supposed to be disclosure about who's getting paid and who's paying them. And when that doesn't happen, you know, the disclosure isn't there, it's a big deal. And I think, you know, it's helpful to look at the whole issue of bias and can any human ever be completely non-biased? And I don't think so. But certainly when there is, you know, that kind of money involved, we can assume that at least unconsciously, there's a bias to give the person paying the money what they want to hear. Also, people will be biased in terms of how they present themselves because of their professional reputation. Case in point, I was recently contacted by a defense attorney, and I don't do this kind of work. It's just, it's out of my wheelhouse and it's way too stressful. But a defense attorney contacted me from another state and said, we want to hire you as an expert witness because I have a male client who's been accused in this horrific sex crime. And we want you to come in, and he made it very clear. The agenda was, we want you to come in and explain that the woman is lying. And I believe she's lying. And I just said immediately, not interested. You know, that's not my professional reputation. Is, of course, sometimes people can lie about anything. But I'm a person that stands up for victims. And I don't want to be known reputation, oh, this is the hired gun who says victims make stories up. It's just, you know, it's not in line with my ethics. And I think everybody who does that kind of work has to look at carefully, what is their motivation and what unconscious biases may they be carrying? And when you're looking at a case like this, yeah, this looks dirty.
And that's a big deal. With what you just described there, when a defense attorney or a prosecutor were to call someone up that they think could be an expert witness, like yourself, which I know it's not what you do, but like they obviously saw you have, you know, some credentials here, but they can't dictate to you what they want you to say. It should be more like, hey, we want to hire you. We want to pay for your time. We want you to review this and then give us your expert opinion on this at the end of the day. Not, hey, we want your conclusion to be this. Go watch this and tell us that this is what you think. That's not how that works.
How it's supposed to work.
It's supposed, it's not how it's supposed to work. Unfortunately, that's how it ends up working quite often. And that ends up, like you're saying, I mean, it really confuses a jury at some point because, you know, is this, you know, it's like watching television sometimes or watching something going, is this an ad or is this part of the show? Especially like when it's kind of baked in really well. That's kind of what an expert witness can be like. It should be separate. It should be clearly this is this person here, this person there, or if this person's expert testimony doesn't jive with the side that hired them, well, hopefully they decide not to bring that expert witness up and just kind of leave that blank. That also, though, does open the door for the other side to hire that expert witness as well, if they're not going to use them to then testify on what their findings were if they didn't necessarily align with what the other side wanted them to be. It's a scary place out there where that goes on. Do you have other experiences in that, or have you seen other folks out there who have experiences with being asked to be an expert witness, but it's very much very narrow-minded on where they want that expert to go?
I think there's a lot of shady stuff that goes on, and just because I typically don't do this sort of thing, I can't say how common it is. Mm-hmm. But I've had another defense attorney from another state that I knew personally through a social connection wanted me to come in and assess somebody, but do it completely off the record and tell him what I thought. And I don't know that that's legit. That had a shady feel to me, too. It's like, you know, it was like, come in, assess, tell me what you think, but we're not going to write anything down. We don't want anything in writing. And, you know, it didn't feel right. I don't like, you know, the secret keeping. So it's probably something that happens a lot more than we realize.
And I want to be clear, I'm not in any way saying that ARCA or ARCCA has anything to do with being shady in this. I don't think they do. I think they thought, you know, the people who were hiring them were doing everything, you know, above board, and that everything was, you know, it had been approved. It had been... It's not their job to go and run through the legalese to make sure that the person hiring you went through the correct steps to do that. So I am in no way denigrating their work or their opinions at all. I think they're just completely valid. But in the eyes of a jury now, I mean, this, if they were to still use ARCA, who was initially brought in by the state, I mean, that's probably not a great idea because it now has a taint to it, at least just in this specific case, because of the way that was used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And clearly, as the judge said, grave concerns.
When someone uses that term grave concerns, especially with a case like this, what are you thinking? I mean, that's pretty... And then also, she even outlined two grave concerns for what could happen with the prosecutor or the defense of Karen as well. You know, all the way down to like everybody on her team, grave concerns. Mm-hmm. That could mean a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are we going to see a whole new defense team coming in? I think that's the question.
Lots of questions regarding that. And there's just so many questions on this case about where is this going to go? Are we going to see a new trial anytime soon? And you know what? I don't think we are after seeing judges' reaction last week. My guess is we're going to see some firings. We're probably going to see a different defense team, or at least somewhat of a different defense team for Karen Reed. And with that, I am wondering, and this is just pure speculation, is this going to, you know, kind of throw into the air everything of the defense, of exactly what her strategy is? Are we going to be sticking then with the house party and he was beat up and thrown to the side or to the curb? Mm-hmm. I wonder how much all of that could possibly shift when you have something like this take place.
Yeah, certainly we can speculate that it would be an entirely different circus.
The circus will we'll continue on as the the wheels never seem to stop changing here in the case of Karen Reed. We'll keep following it. Siobhan, Scott, thanks for your insights on this obviously crazy case.
The latest true crime stories, expert breakdowns, and shocking twists all in one place. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.